Okay, so last week, I know we were missing a lot of people, so let's just recap a bit. We started the nature of malacha, the malacha of tzad. So I'm not going to go through everything last week, but basically there are two ways of understanding the malacha of tzad. One is to say that the nature of the malacha, you can look at number one, I've given you the summary, is that the definition of the malacha is that you limited the freedom of the animal. The other possibility is that the focus of malachet tzad is that you brought the animal into your possession, right? Now, into your rishus, into your domain. We noted several possible nafkaminas to this. But let's take it, just with that in mind, let's go back to our Gemara. You know, what we did last week, so you can listen, but it's but let's focus on how it plays on our Gemara. So, let's go from the Mishnah, really, and read through it, and try to play those two possibilities out in our sugya. So the Mishnah had said that Ein tzadin dogim min habibarim biyom tov, ein osn lefnei mizonos. You can't trap these fish from these streams on Yom Tov, and you can't give them food. But if you have animals or birds, then you can hunt them from these small areas. The nose and the flame is onus, and you can give food to them. Shimon ben Gamliel said they're not all equivalent. This is the rule. Anything which is lacking in being hunted is forbidden, and that which is not lacking in being hunted is permitted. So, meaning anything that from now on you don't need to hunt anymore, so that means you're liable because you've already trapped it. Anything that would still need to be trapped, that means the trapping you did was insignificant. So you are exempt. So the Gemara says, or Raminu, the Gemara notes that there's a contradictory Mishnah and Braisa that's quoted also in Shabbos. I give it to you here in 4 and 5. As follows, Bibarin shel chaya vishel ofos ein sadin behem v'yomtov. You cannot hunt these animals from these pens on Yom Tov. You can't give them food. So kasha chaya ofos. So there's a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah says that once an animal or a bird are in these small areas, so then they are considered already trapped, and therefore you can take them from that area on Yom Tov. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that you cannot. So the Gemara says, Bishlama chaya chaya lo kasha. I can resolve the contradiction regarding animals as follows. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, ha, Rabbanan. Perhaps it's a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan. It's not, because the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yehuda omer hatzad tzipor l'migdal utzvi l'bayiv chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda believes that if you hunt a bird into a tower, or a deer into a house, so you're liable. That means that Rabbi Yehuda thinks that once they're in the house or in the tower, they're already considered trapped, right? So therefore, you're liable for chasing them in, which means that taking them out, you'd be exempt, right? You can only be liable once, right? You can be liable, right? Either you trapped them the first time or you didn't, right? If you did, then you're liable. Then if that didn't count as trapping, then when you trap them the second time, then you're liable. So this implies that into a house they are considered trapped, but if you only chase them into like a small area, into this bibar, into this pen of sorts, then that's not called trapping, therefore you're not liable. But if you're not liable for chasing them in, that means while they're in that area they're not considered trapped, and therefore you would be liable to take them out of there, to trap them while they're in the pen. And the Chachamim say that this is right. So Rashi, that you are liable when you chase them into the bibar, into this small pen area. So the Gemara says, well, according to the Chachamim who say that you're liable for chasing them into this pen, then taking them out of the pen is not called trapping the early shab. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that once an animal is in this bibar, in this small area, then you're allowed to take it out, which implies that it was already trapped. That's the position of the Chachamim. The Mishnah, Brisa and Shabbos, the Tosefta and Brisa and Gemara and Shabbos that say that you cannot trap the animal that's already in the pen is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that tracing something into a bibar is insignificant, therefore you're not liable, therefore pulling it out of there, you would, right, trapping it from there, you would be liable. So that's animals. Ela ofos, ofos, kasha. We still have a contradiction vis-a-vis birds. So the Gemara says, v'chi tema ha nami. Maybe you want to say that it depends on whether this penned area is roofed or not. If it's roofed, they're considered trapped before, and therefore you're allowed to take the animals out of it. You're allowed to trap them within because they're already halachically trapped. If it didn't have a roof, the birds. If it wasn't roofed, then they're still free while you're there, and therefore you cannot trap them on Yom Tov. The Gemara says that can't be. V'habayis kibibar mikura dami. But a house is like a roofed pen. Uvein l'Yehuda, vein l'Rabbanan, and both of Yehuda and Rabbanan hold that sipar l'migdol in that you l'bayis low. But both of them agree that if you trace the bird into the house, right, you can't do that. So that can be the distinction. So Amar Rabba Bar Avuna, Hacha Bitsibar Drora Skinan, She'enu Mekabeles Marus. It depends what type of bird it is. Certain wild birds don't accept authority very easily, and therefore, even if you trap them into a structure, they would still be considered free because they're going to be hard to catch, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to catch them on Yom Tov. But a regular bird, once it's in the structure, it would be fine. Tanavir Ishmael, Lamanik Rashma Tsipor Dror, because Rishmael said, why are these birds called Tsipor Dror? Shedara Bavayas Kivasadeh, because they're capable of living freely both in a house and in the field. And the Gemara said, Hashadas Lachi, once you make that type of distinction, Chaya Nami Lokasha. There's no contradiction regarding animals. Habibiver Katan, Habibiver Gadol, it depends. If they're in a small area, so then you are not liable. If they're in a large bibar, so then you're not liable for chasing them into there, but you are liable for taking them out. Okay, so the first point we'd made last week was that the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, may hang on this these two possibilities in Sud. Right? Namely, if Sud is about limiting the freedom of the animal, then even if you chase an animal into a large pen, even if you can't control it, meaning you would still have to go and trap it again, you have successfully limited its freedom. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're liable for chasing it into the larger area, right, might focus on the freedom of the animal. The Chachamim would say, no, when you chase the animal to the large area where you still have to exert yourself to trap it, might hold that Sa'ad is not about limiting the freedom of the animal, it's about taking control of the animal. And therefore, even if you've limited its freedom, but it's still a large enough area that the animal is free, that isn't called Sa'ad, and you're still liable for Sa'ad if you try to trap it from that area, though we noted last week that it's not, right, smooth, you could distinguish, yeah.
But we're talking about wild animals and wild birds. When we learned about domesticated birds, even if they're not trapped, even if they're running...
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that.
We will get to that.
We haven't even gotten... That's just in the Gemara. Like, we haven't even gotten to that point in the Gemara. We've started to introduce that possibility of the super drawer. There are different levels of birds, but we will... I promise you we'll get to that.
It's just I have difficulty with the first concept based on the fact that a domesticated bird could have complete freedom to roam around, but it's still not Sa'ad.
It's the Gemara. Trust me, the Gemara is going to get there. So that's where we were last week. So then the Gemara says, okay, well, hechi dami biber katan, hechi dami biber gadol. So this is new already, right? How big is big? How small is small? So Amar Rav Ashi, kol hecha dirohit abasra, umati lo bechad shachya, biber katan, v'idach biber gadol. By the way, I just want to note here, I looked back at my notes from Lichtenstein, and he noted that this assumption of the Gemara, that there are only two states, that, right? Something being trapped such that you're liable for chasing it in there and exempt for chasing it out, or trapping it within, rather, right? Or, right, it's you weren't liable the first time and you are the second time, meaning an animal can only be in one of two states. Is not true of all malachot. There are other malachot where you have middle states.
Isn't that just
right?
Reb Shimon Gamliel? Isn't he the only one?
Well, we haven't gotten to Reb Shimon Gamliel yet, but he's saying so far that's the assumption of Rehuda and the Chachamim, right? The Rehuda and the Chachamim say that it's too, right? If you're liable for chasing it in, then you're not liable for taking it out. If you're not liable for chasing it in, you are, right? It's just, there's only two possibilities. He notes that you could have imagined a third possibility in the middle. You're right, Reb Shimon Gamliel is the one who explicitly articulates that there's only two sides of the coin, but that seems to be at some level with the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda.
Everybody seems to agree on that.
Seems to be, but he notes that you could have constructed a theory that it wouldn't be that way, which we have in other cases, right? You know, in Bishul, we recognize varying degrees, right? Something can be cooked, right? You're chayev when something is, you know, something is Michael Ben Drusai, which is the basis, but sometimes it's forbidden to keep cooking it if it's mistamik viyafe, right? It's already cooked, but it's going to improve, right? You have like varying levels that are significant. There are malachot where we, but on the other hand, we have there ein bishal achar bishal, right? That once something's cooked, you can't cook it again, even if it does get better, right? So we recognize different levels, but sometimes there really are only two, right? So he just noted that you have to sort of bring this in conversation with other malachos. But we'll come back to all these points, right? This is one of those days where really reading through the Gemara is where everything comes from. So anyways, Ravashi says the difference, what's small? So kol heichal de roida basra umati lo bechad shachya biber katan v'idach biber gadol. So possibility one is, as long as you run after it and can grab it in one shot, that's called small, right? If you can't grab it in one go, it's called large. Now, this is something that I noticed in the Chavrusa then, but I looked back at my notes to make sure that both Lichtenstein and Rav Gigi had both said the same thing. There's two different girsos on this this line. So if you look at on the sources here, right? If you look at Rashi, whichever you want, Rashi has the girsa of our Gemara. B'chad shachya b'pam achas shu shocha lov litavso ein lan lishamei mimenu. Right? If you can grab it in one, right, bending over to grab, so then it's small. If you can't, then it's large. But if you look at number eight. And the Rajba says, Nira Shirashi Zalgaris Hechi Dami Biber Katan, Kol Demati Le Bechad Shachya Bechet. Shuzal Perish, Kol Shashocha Lov Litav So. Then you go, holy, he shamed me. Right, Rashi has a chet there. And it says that as long as you can grab it in one, right, grab, so then it's small. It's, right, that's considered trapped. Veinu Mechuvar. He said, that's not clear. The Bibar Kazeh caught on me by it. Vizepshita did suddenly. He said, that's not a Kiddush. Think about the Gemara. We're talking about houses. We're talking about towers. Right? There's no house or tower which is small enough that you can be guaranteed that it'll take you one, right, leap to catch the animal. The Girsa says, from Shalonu. So he said, our Girsa is called Diroit Umaitla Bechad Shehiya. It's not shachya, but shehiya, meaning uperish Rabbi Chananel kol shemagio beritza achas ve'eino tzarech lafush b'intayim. He said, "It's any animal that I don't have to rest right in my pursuit of the animal, right? Meaning it's rahid right b'chad shehiya, meaning in one sort of not literally one grab, right, but." I don't have to chase after it so much that I, have to take a rest. Like, it's free. And it's possible that Rashi and Rabbi Chananel are, again, arguing along with these lines. Because you think about what they're really saying, right? What is Rabbeinu Chananel? What is Rashi saying? Rashi is saying, when is something in my control? Only if I can grab it, right? Like, it doesn't matter that it's contained. It has to be that I have control, meaning I can stand where I am and I can grab it. Meaning he needs a very high level where it's really under your thumb. Mm-hmm. Rabbeinu Hananel says that's not true. You don't need to control it for it to be considered trapped. Right? It just can't be free. Right? What's free? If I can, in one hunt, right, one attempt at trapping, catch it. Right? Not one grab. Like, I clearly still have to pursue it. But I won't have to rest in the middle. Meaning, it may have some freedom, but not so much freedom that I can't, that, right, I have to start a new hunt. So then it's considered trapped. So, you think about what they're saying. Rashi is commanding total control of the animal before it's considered trapped. Rabbeinu Hananel is saying, no, something can already be trapped once its freedom is curtailed enough that I don't have to go on a new hunting expedition to get it, even if it's true that it's not under my control yet.
Are these two different ideas, or one is just a more Hummer variety than the other? I mean, you can't have, if you have something under your control, then the animal's...
Correct, meaning...
It's
meaning
is curtailed. So
it's
curtailed, but it's not so good enough that it's under your control. The other one is more sad because it's under your control. In other words, one is...
Correct, right. These aren't opposites. There's, right, two levels at what, right, is the focus of the lower level where the animal is, right, freedom is curtailed, or is it the higher level where not only is it less free, but I'm, right, I have total mastery over the animal. And that seems to be the machlokes of Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel. If you continue, this sort of these two levels play out as in the continuation as well. The Gemara gives another possibility.
Well, it's arbitrary because in one it's dependent upon the skill of the person,
and
the other it's dependent upon the animal.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's true, right? If you think that if you think there's two possibilities in Sa'd, one is that's exactly what they're really saying, right? If you say it's about the animal's freedom being curtailed, then yeah, it's about the animal, right? If you say it's about your control, it's dependent. It's subjective. It's right. Do you have control? Yes.
But it means there's not a straight suck on this because it'll vary.
Correct.
Also they overlap because whether you say like Rashi or whether you say like the Rashba. Whether you can catch an animal in one swoop and whether you can catch an animal before you get tired, it also depends on your skill.
Correct. And that may be true, right? I mean, we have to wonder, right, is this what the average person can, when you can, but the truth is...
being on kibbutz for a month and working...
Correct, but Rabbeinu Hananel makes it sound very subjective, right? I mean, Rabbeinu Hananel says, how long can you go without taking a break, right? Meaning that sounds subjective to me. Right? It's very hard to read that as objective, right? It sounds like, yeah, it's a sliding scale. It's, you know, it sounds that way. I mean,
well, it's not just your stamina, it's your skill in
catching. Your stamina, your skill. But I'm saying, however you read it, right? It's formulated very subjectively. Yeah. Rashi, you could read it slightly differently, but Rashi also has a level of subjectivity too, right? Not as obviously, right? Meaning, but yeah, still, yeah, I agree. That's definitely definitely true.
Where is this Rabbeinu Hananel?
No, I think it actually is. Rajba just clarifies the problems. Mm-hmm. It's just Rabbeinu. The Girsa is right. If you can see it.
It's the same one as Rashi.
Is it?
Looks that way.
One second. Then maybe that's why I put it in the Rashi, it's not Rabbeinu Hananel. Well, you see that even here it's two different girsot of what he has. So it is the Rashi. It's just that the Rashba highlights the problems with it. So I just put it, and also, you know, Rabbeinu Hananel is like, you know, written in like font negative two. Like, I mean, I can read it, but like. Yeah, and rather print it on, you know, huge 11 font, right?
It just says like -0.2 font.
Yeah. Anyways, that's always the problem here. Anyways, okay. But then the Gemara says, "Inami kol heicha diika ukte bibur gadol viidach bibur katan." Possibility two is: are there corners, right? Are there corners in the house where it can hide? Now again. This could be, right, this corner thing sounds very much, at least to me, like, well, first of all, subjective, but also that it's about taking control, right? Meaning, just because there are corners doesn't mean the animal is free, right? It could be a small space. Corners just makes it more difficult for you to find it, right? But it's not free, right? It could be a small space with a lot of corners. It sounds like the point is, right, once there are corners, it may still be trapped, but you're not going to have an easy time finding it. So ukte ukte seems more like it's about the your ability to control it. However, the third one seems right, could go really the other direction, and it depends. How big is the room? Is it big enough that the shadow falls from one wall onto the other? Right, meaning, right, that's just an objective size, right? Right, if the shadow falls from one wall to the other, that means it's a small room. If it doesn't, then it's a big room.
Because that would depend where the light source was coming from.
Correct, right? Exactly how you define it would be a bit hard. But the this comes back to Howie's point that, right, at some level, right, you the more it's about your control, the easier it is to talk about subjectivity. The more it's about the animal's freedom, the more it's objective, right? Because right, it's about the animal. It's not about, you know, you have different skills. It's this animal, right? We've already spoken about the possibility that slow animals are just, right, there may be lesser problem with sod and the like. So here, we're talking not about, it sounds like you're talking about the freedom of the animal, right? If it's small, right, so then the animal's trapped. If it's big, the animal isn't trapped, right? If you start talking about ukte ukte, like how hard is it for me to find, right? Not about the size, like not how much is its freedom curtailed, but simply, how hard is it to find? You're focusing on the person. So there is something Ruchlinstein pointed out, that even when you look at the three answers, ukse ukse focuses on the ability of the person to control the animal. The size of the building seems to focus on how free is the animal. And chad shachya, chad shehiya, it depends. If you have Rashi's girsa, so then it's focusing on the person. If you have Rabbeinu Hananel's girsa, it's focusing more on the animal. So this question seems to itself play out in the three possibilities in the Gemara itself.
You're able to read all three possibilities.
Correct. Right. Lo, it's not muchrach. Right. None of these are muchrach. Right. It's right. And this is, comes back to Sam's point that these aren't really two opposites. Right. They're on a continuum, and therefore it is easy to just push it and say, well, maybe. Right, it is about the animal's freedom, but we can argue: is an animal free in a small spot, or only free when people can find it? Or
I was going to say more about human control,
or the opposite. Right, you would say it's about human control, and then there's two ways. Right, meaning, do you say your pet is not under your control if it's hiding in a corner? Right, you might say, well, no, I don't control. On the other hand, you might say, yeah, but it's my pet; I'm going to find it eventually. Right, like how far could it have gone? Right, so yes, you could push each one in different directions. It's just that each one of them. Right, is easier. But you're right, you could. It's not glut in that sense. Okay. The one which sort of is much more glut in that sense is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Let's just continue here in the Gemara. Right, so the Gemara says, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Omar lo kol habibar in shavin. So I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, Allah, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So Amar Abaye, halacha michal the pligi. That implies that people argue on him. Doesn't everybody agree? I mean, isn't Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? This is Alan's point. Doesn't Rav Shimon ben Gamliel just summarize the rule of the opening of the Mishnah? Right? Meaning, Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are only arguing about what it means for something to be trapped, but they agree that there's really only two sides to this. Right? To this. Discussion. Either it was trapping the first time, therefore it's not trapping the second time, or it wasn't trapping the first time, so it is the second time. So Amar Leh, Umay Nafka Lachamina, right? What do you care? Right? What do I care whether the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel because he argues, or the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel because he's clarifying what everybody held to begin with? So Amar Leh, Gemara, Gemara, Zemarasatehe, he said, I care because the Torah is not a song, right? It matters. The lyrics matter, right? You can sing your song however you want, but the song of Torah, you got it, right? You know, nobody really cares. You can change the lyrics, you can make a parody of the lyrics, right? The same tune, you can switch the tune, right? You can have 50 tunes for the same words, or 50 words for the same tune. I don't care. But Torah isn't like that. I care. Fine. It also usually is more us that they doesn't just have like a it's not just a song, sometimes it's a gesture song. which is the way Rashi takes it, right? Mashal shotim hu, right? Kimo zvon v'zevet tagra ekrei kach mara gamor amar l'talmud shota l'mod hein emes hein shibush v'elecha l'zemer l'shir, right? We don't tell a student, learn Torah. I don't care if you get it right, you don't get it right, right? Whatever. You know, this is why, like, you know, I get annoyed when people make songs out of psukim and they have no idea what they're talking about. Because yes, then it's literally gemara gamor is morasat tehei, is that you've turned it into a song that's utter nonsense, right? Oh, well. Okay, but you don't have to hear my rant on that. I gave share on that last year because, you know, I remember Karofkin Ray Spitz came to me and said, we want to have a Beit Midrash series on music in Judaism. We want you to give one, and we want there to be a musical component to it. And I'm like, you are talking to the wrong person. But I was like, if you want, I will give a share on the Kol Pasuk Lo Paskim Moshe Rabbeinu, the Isser to cut psukim, and the problem of singing psukim, and I will play songs that I think violate, right, the ethos of Torah. If that counts as a musical thing, then that's fine. And they agreed, so that was what I did. So you could listen online, right, just go through a few songs. This is bad, this is bad, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is why. Anyways.
So what does that mean? Can you what's the answer? What are they answering then? Like,
what do you mean?
What that poetic expression?
No, meaning he's saying, that's why I care. He said, when you said halacha like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that sounds like he's arguing. So they say to him, what do you care if he's arguing? If the halacha is like him, who cares if the halacha is like him because there's a machlokas and we paskin like him, or there was no machlokas to begin with? And he says to him, of course I care, because Torah isn't, right? Torah, it matters, right? When you say the halacha like Rav Shimon Gamliel, if that's because he's summarizing the rule everyone holds, then tell me it's because everyone holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Don't tell me that Allah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel as if he's some shitas yachid, right? I care.
You think we're a little tongue-in-cheek here.
So is it a machlokes?
Seeing that, the whole, what seems to bother the Gemara is that we have to, it's not a Gemara's zemurta tehei. So that would be like a song. So therefore we have to know, is it the Allah like Rav Shimon Gamliel, or is he some holik on or not?
Right.
The Gemara forgets to answer that question. They use this answer supposed to be the
yes. Worst,
the whole
I mean, the implication, right? The implication of the Gemara is that the Allah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel because he is according to everybody, right? Because
but
he challenged him.
Allah involved a plea.
But
so they leave that up in the air and they say, well,
okay. I mean, the implication is that that's true. But, like, but you're right. You're right. He doesn't really. You're right. Okay. Okay. It could be. Okay. So that. So now to that rule. Zeaklal, kol mechusar tzeida. So heichidami mechusar tzeida. So what does it mean to be lacking in being trapped? So Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, kol she'omer havei mitzuda v'nitzadenu. If you still have to say, bring me a trap so I can trap it. Right now, Shimon Gamliel sounds very much, I think, right? Like focusing on, again, you could read it both ways, but he really, right? He goes out of his way to formulate from the vantage point of the person, right? If someone says, I still need a trap, to find it. Amr le'abai v'ha avozin utarne golin. And this is now come to Howie's point. He said, but what about these geese and roosters? Omrim have mitzod honitzadenu. And we always say, bring me a trap and trap it. Utani atzad avozin utarne golin v'yoni hardosiyot patur. But we say that if you trap your geese or your chickens or your Herodian doves, which are apparently domesticated doves, okay, patur. So what are you talking about? So Amar Rabba Bar Avuna, it depends, right? Amar Shmuel, halo ba'in likluvan la'erev, halo ein ba'in likluvan la'erev. He said there is a level, and this is what you said. It's not just, right, when we talk about trapped, we don't just mean, like, physically can't run, right? Domesticated animals, right, pets, are considered trapped, even, right, you can have your cat, right, it runs up and down your house, it's impossible to get. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos because, as I said, ban l'kluv and l'erev. It comes back, right, for the food, right? All you have to do is say, right, it's Pavlovian, literally, right? This is Pavlov's experiment. Ring the bell and your dog, which was running around in your huge yard for the last 10 minutes, right, will come running back to you to have your food, right? That's called trapped because at the end of the day, tzad isn't just about whether I can grab it or not. It's whether it's, right?
You control it.
Yeah, right? I mean, this is a one-way nafkamina, right? If you control it, right, then even if its freedom isn't curtailed, but the reality is that you control it, so then that's called, right, nitzot. It's already trapped. And this is why, by the way, right, you don't have to worry. You don't see people saying, oh, I'm not allowed, right, my dog is running around my house, right, I'm not allowed to grab it on Shabbos. No, you are, right, because it's domesticated, right?
This suggests what I said before that wasn't true, that there is a circuit, that the fact that the controls is not one step further than, you know.
Well, okay.
Now you're saying that
I hear.
You can have something that's not confined at all.
Right, I mean, of course, you could read it slightly differently and say it's not about confined, right? It's about, right, meaning its freedom may be curtailed, meaning it's not a free animal. And that was like what we saw with the bird. Right? See, for Jaworski, and certain types of birds are free spirits, and therefore they're more free, and domestic animals are anti-free. But you're right, this focuses on the...
on the ownership, and you could...
To the exclusion of physical curtailment of freedom,
you
yes.
You can have an ownership of animal that can be under your control, even though it's not... Its movement is not curtailed within a confined.
Correct, and from that vantage point, right? If Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel were arguing on the first two, right, on the Tanakhama, you could say that's really the machlok. Because Shimon ben Gamliel says it's about the relationship of the person, right? If it's domesticated, so therefore, right, so then that's fine. The Tanakhama focuses on sort of more objective standards. How big is the area that it's in, right, is about whether it's free or not, right? That would be another way of reading this if Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel argued.
My difficulty is the whole concept of curtailing the animal, because everything can be read in one direction.
Correct. This one's a little bit harder to read in that direction because it's, right, saying its freedom is not technically curtailed. It chooses to come back to you,
right,
and therefore you control it de facto.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. It's all about the control of the man. It has nothing to do with the freedom.
Right, and you can definitely, like, again, you can definitely read it that way. And again, it's not necessarily that these are to the exclusion of each other. These are the two formulations you find, and you do see Rishonim and Achronim bringing it up. You're right. In each one of them, you could
tweak
it. But
certain animals will come back to you, and you know they're wild animals. They're still not, you know.
Correct, but
but you know you fed a certain chipmunk or squirrel or something like that.
Correct.
And every day it comes back to you.
And that might be, right? It's the question of domesticated.
Squirrel.
Right, and it means a question of domestication.
So
and well, okay, this is the next line. Right, let's continue. Vareyone shovach v'yone aliyah. But what about these pigeons that live in the dove coats? Right, deban l'govan be'er. They do come home. V'tanya tzad yone shovach v'yone aliyah. Utziparim shekanu betvichem bibaros chayv. And you're liable for these types of birds. So Amar Baruchun Amar Shmuel Halo Ban Lakovan Erev Umizonos on Alecha. He said, "There's two things. It's not just that they come home; is that you feed that you have to feed them. Valo Ban Lakovan Erev Ein Mizonos on Alecha. Right? It's two things. They need to choose to come home at night, and you need to be responsible for them. Right? Such that you're providing their food. Because, and again, you could read this both ways. Right? You could say that animals who depend on you for food, it may look like they're free, but they're not free." Right, or you could say that it's about control. Animals that come home each night but can find their own food in the end of the day are not fully under your control because they could always choose to stay, right, to stay away. Animals that haven't learned to fend for themselves, right, and you feed them, you provide for them, so therefore they're really, really under your control. Rav Mari Amar Hani Avidi Lirabuye, Hani Lo Avide Lirabuye. So Rav Mari says, well, it depends. Right, he said, "How look at Rashi?" Right, he said, "Parach." Right, Yone Shovach Asunli Shamel Brach Mepnei Mene Adam. Right, these birds run away from you or fly away from you. Really, right? Even though they're yours, they fly away from you, and you have to chase after them. Right? So he says, "Kulunami Avidle Rabuye." Said, "What do you mean? They all run away? And they all fly away? Birds fly away, right? I had pet birds, right?" Doesn't matter how domesticated they are, they fly when you try to grab them, right? Even if they'll sit on your finger for a while, right? You know, you touch their wing in the wrong way and they'll fly frantically around the, around the house until you have to, right? That's any bird. That is what a bird does. So he says, that's true, but, Lekolvan kamrin Davide li rebuye. So he says, Parchen ad kainan, la los achrehen, the gam sham nishmatin menu, the yordin. He said, it depends, right? Do they run until you get them in their coop, but once in their coop, they sort of calm down? Or, right, they're, you know, you chase them into their coop, and then they go out the other door. Right, there are different levels of chasing. Right, so these pigeons, right, you chase them up to the coop, and then once you get up to the coop, they fly out and they fly around in circles. Right, the chicken, you may have to chase them into the coop, but once they're in the coop, they sort of settle down for the night, and therefore they're much more domesticated than the pigeon. Now, again, you're right. We can read each of these lines in both ways, but you see how it's clear that these two possibilities are what the Gemara is struggling with, right? Some of the language pushes very much on control of the person, like mizonos and alecha, right? That sounds very much like it's about the control of the person, not about their freedom. I mean, technically, they could go and eat food somewhere else. It's just they haven't learned how to do that, and so they're dependent on you, right? They're not actually under your, you know, physical control, but they, you know, in the sense that they are free, they could do whatever they want, right? But they are. You control them in reality because they depend on you. Coming home at night, again, they're not, their freedom isn't actually curtailed, right? Except in a sort of psychological sense, right? They don't know what it means to be free, but ban l'kol v'nerev is, I control them. So I do agree that by the end of the sugya, right, it sounds very much like the Gemara focuses on the person's perspective, right? That if it's the type of thing where they return to you at night and you have to feed them, and so then they're yours, even though their freedom isn't curtailed and they could fly away. On the other hand, at the end, when it talks about, you know, chasing them, right? You know, again.
But if you throw in the concept of muksa here, which is what
we haven't even done yet, yeah.
Okay, then it happens. Well, we did that when we were learning the previous parak with the birds, that you have to designate the birds that you're going to use on Yom Tov. Have they got mixed up, whether you could still use it or not? So, if, and we just had from 2 weeks ago where we had the muksa. So if you're throwing in the concept of muksa, then it's the person that has to designate, whether it be the wild animal or the other one, that he's going to be using this animal on Yom Tov, and so that he has the capability, so he has to have the capability to catch it. If he's designating, I'm going to eat this
yes.
deer or whatever else on Yom Tov or this fish.
Correct, because you can't designate something that isn't your rishus. And that's how the Rambam reads this whole Gemara. Right? The Rambam says, you think this is about tzad? None of this is about tzad. Now, the funny thing for the Rambam is that in Shabbos, this clearly is about tzad. Right? So the Rambam, what the Rambam is doing is actually very fancy. Right? What the Rambam is doing is saying that this sugya exists identically in two different worlds. In Shabbos, meaning the laws of tzad, okay, so for people who weren't here last week, the way I read this all was focusing on tzad, mm-hmm. and Rashi and Ramban and Rashba and Ran all try to explain why tzad is even a problem on Yom Tov, and they do have their explanations of why it's a problem. This is actually 2 weeks ago, so you were here, right? Because they say that there are certain limitations on Ochel Nevesh. But the Rambam says, no, there is no limitation on Ochel Nevesh. This entire discussion is about Muksa. Now, the problem for the Rambam is that all the other Rishonim, look, they say, in a Hanami, this sugya is identical in Shabbos and Yom Tov because, in the end of the day, it's about whether or not it's trapping, which is a malacha on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. But according to the Rambam, why do we have two identical sugyas, one in Hilchos Shabbos and one in Hilchos Yom Tov? The one in Hilchos Shabbos is actually about tzad, and the one in Hilchos Yom Tov has nothing to do with tzad. It has to do with muktza. The answer for the Rambam is going to be that it's true, but on Shabbos, it's about whether something is trapped or not has implications for tzad. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to hunt. But whether something is under your jurisdiction or not has, right, has mukta implications, but I'm lying to you, right? I'm lying to you because, and since you bring it up, I'll skip to it now. I should have put it on this sheet, but I didn't. I put it as the addendum on the beginning of, okay. We're not going to get the rest of the new sheet, but so hold on to it for next week. But the Rambam, we'll do right now. This one. This is the new one. You got the new one? New one?
Okay. Did it mean to cause trouble?
It's fine. What fun do we have? We're not trouble. No. So look at the Rambam. Look at the Rambam in number 1 and 2. Okay? And tell me if you notice something odd about the Rambam. The Rambam says as follows. This is the Rambam let's start with 2 actually. Right? Start with 2. The Rambam in Shabbos, meaning when he thinks that the sugi is about sad, quat sad. Hatzad davar shederach mino lotzud osan chayev. If you trap something that is usually trapped, you are liable. Kengon chaya ofos vidagim, like animals, birds, fish. V'hu sheyatzud osan lamakom sheina mechusar tzeida, which is that you trap it into a place where it is no longer lacking in being in trappedness, right? In being trapped. Keitzad, what does that mean? Kegon sherodav achrei tzviyat shechnisu labayet elagina olachotzer v'nal b'fanav. You chase a deer into a house or to a garden or to a or whatever into a courtyard and you lock it. You chase a bird into a tower and you lock it. Right, you put the fish. Right, you take the fish from the sea and put it in a right, you know, whatever. Whatever, in a, yeah, or yeah, in a basket, in a tank, whatever. Avolim friach tibur lebayis v'nal b'fanav v'shirich dag v'akrom menayim mayim lebrecha shalmayim v'sharadav achar tzviyash v'nechal tzraklin rachav v'nal b'fanav reza padr. But if you chase a bird into a big house, you chase a fish into a stream, right, which is still free, or you chase a deer into a palace, right, a huge palace, you're still exempt. She'ein du tzei the gemurah. That's not full trapping. She'im yavo lekachto. Because if you try to come and take it, tzarich lirdov achar of lotz also misham. You still have to chase it. Lefirat zarari eno chayiv at yechnesen lekipa. And therefore, you want to trap a lion. You're not liable until you put it in a cage. Shoo, right? Shoo neserba. Because it's not trapped until it is in chains, right? Your lion may be in a room, but it may be a small room, but, right, it ain't under your control quite yet. Now, who's the Rambam paskening like? Right? So the Rambam here is paskening like the Chachamim, right? Meaning the Tanakhama, right? That it's about, right, is it trapped? Right? Look at number one. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Yontif. Dagen shebibarim gedolim, v'chein chayav av shebibarim gedolim, kol shem chotzer seida, right? When, what's the standard? Does the person say, I still need to bring a trap to trap it? Right? Etc., etc. Who does he quote? Reb Shem ben Gamliel. So as many of the Acharonim note, why would the Rambam Paskin like, and this comes back to Sam's point, right? Most Rishonim understand that it's a given that we Paskin like Reb Shem ben Gamliel. But the Rambam didn't take it as a given that we paskin like Reb Shimon Gamliel, as Sam pointed out. It seems like he only paskin like Reb Shimon Gamliel in Yom Tov and paskin like the Tanakhama, and assumed they were arguing in Shabbos. Why would you distinguish between Shabbos and Yom Tov? Well, yes, because he thinks that it's not Sad because of Ochel Nefesh. He thinks it's Mukta. Well, think about it. If the issue at hand is Sad, right, then what matters? Is the animal trapped or not? If the issue is mukta, it's mutter to trap something, then what's the difference, right? How does the person relate to it, right? Have mitzuda v'nitzadenu. So the Rambam seems to distinguish along this line and says, the malacha of tzad is about whether the animal is still free. Mukta is about whether the person relates to it as in his domain or not. If the person says, I still need to go out and trap it, then it's out of his domain. Then it's mukta. On Shabbos, the question is, isn't it out of my domain? Is objectively. Is it, right? Is it trapped or is it not trapped? And therefore, the Rambam takes the Chachamim in Hilchos Shabbos and takes Rosh Hashanah and Hilchos Yom Tov. Coming back to Sam's point, he clearly says that the conclusion of the Gemara is there is a machlokas Chacham and Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, and we split the difference and paskin like one of them in Shabbos and one of them in Yom Tov. So the Rambam does, like I said, the Rambam is very fancy here, right? Because the Rambam, right, splits the two identical sugyas. Remember, the sugya, right, if you don't believe me, I put it on the source sheet. It's literally identical in the two Masechtos, right? Minus Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, and says, yeah, we paskin Rosh Hashanah Gamliel in Yom Tov, and we paskin Chachamim in Shabbos. Okay. What page am I on now? Okay. So, let's just finish off this old source sheet, and we'll get to the next one later. So, what did I put here? What is left? From what? No, there's actually not. No. Remember, we did 14 and not. We did 14 and 15. Yeah.
Right.
Right. We're up to 9. Right. Okay. So we're up to 9. Not so much. So the Yerushalmi. Okay. This is the Yerushalmi. Amar of Chanina. Chinna masnisin lo Rabbi Yehuda. Tamin and Tanan. Rabbi Yehuda. Amar atzad tibur lemigdal tzvi lebayis chayev aleginu lebarin potter. So again, this is like the Bavli. Is this not like Rabbi Yehuda? Right. Meaning it frames it differently. Right. Our In our Gemara, we use it as a stira. We say, HaRabban HaRabbi Yehuda. The Yerushalmi just assumes this is not like Rabbi Yehuda, it's like the Chachamim. Michla, so the Gemara said, Michla Vashidas Rabbi Yehuda. Did Hanina in Tzadon Dagman Abarim and Esmel Fnei Mezonos? Haligina Barim Pater. Michla Vashidas Rabbanan. Tamin Taman Vacham Ramsipra Lamigdal Tzvi Lagina Vachatzal Ibarin. Vitanin Naval Tzadon Chayav Oaf Bibarim and Esmel Fnei Mezonos. Haligina Lachatzar low, kan mechazim mekura, kan mekura. Right, so it's right. It goes through switching shitos. It goes through the question of mekura and not mekura. But if you look at the end, why did I put the Yerushalmi? What did I put the Yerushalmi that he added? I think that's all I put. Is that all I did it for? Ulamar Bowen Kame Rebbe Achaman Nitni Kamachotzer Seda Chayev, Shane Machotzer Seda Pater Amalon, Kalo Benal, Sochan and Kayaman, El Kamach Seda Ostrichan. Okay, I honestly don't remember why I put the Rishalmi. I had a reason for putting the Rishalmi, and now I don't remember why I put the Rishalmi. That's not good. But if I remember next week, I'll tell you why I put the Rishalmi.
What does it mean, Kalo Benal, Sochan and
Kayaman? Nobody talked about it before.
Well, maybe that's what it is, right? It's right that even if it's locked, maybe that's why I put it in, right? That even if it's locked, right? The Yerushalmi adds at the end, right? Amr lo benal sochan and kayamin elakom mechutzar tzei da asher shenu mechutzar tzei da mutter. I mean, even if
it's not the physical properties, it's the subjective properties,
right? I mean, even if you locked it, so it is trapped, it doesn't matter. I think that's why I put it right. That the Yerushalmi, after going through the whole thing in the Bavli, says, right, even if it's locked, I mean, it really can't get out. If you still can't catch it. Right, then it is chayav. I think that's why I put it just focused on that on that point.
If you don't catch it, you're pater or you're chayav. Lock it, you're pater, right? It makes no sense.
Right, meaning chayav, you're pater for putting it in there, chayav for taking it out. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Fine. I think that's why I put it. That might be right. I could be had something else here, but I'm going to assume that's why I put it here. Okay. Fine. Number 10. This is really the last point. 10 through 13 are the last point. They go together. So Amar Shmuel, Kol Paturi de Shabbos Pater Aval Aser Levar Mehani Klas de Pater Mutter. So this is one of the most important lines in Sad, which is that normally in all of Masechah Shabbos, whenever you see the word Pater, Pater means Aser Drabanan. But three times Pater means it's permitted. So Chadaha, one is this. Umimai de Paturumutter. So what is this? This was what we'd seen, we'd mentioned before, which is snap is trapping a snake. So he says, Umai de Paturumutter. Diktani Seifa Lamaza Doma Lomal Beza Lashomro. No, we're talking about, this is on the Mishnah, right? This is the Mishnah on number, it's number 4, right? The Rehud Omer Atzad Sipra Lamigdal. No, that is our Mishnah. That was bad. That's very annoying. That means that when I copied this, it cut. Yeah. Okay, that's very annoying. You know, like when you're doing it in Bar-Ilan, right? Sometimes it doesn't copy the last thing, right? It copies like, you know, it doesn't manage to copy, and that means I just copied. Okay, fine. So normally, right, it is. Pater u aser, but here is pater u mutter. So he said, "Umay de pater u mutter." Diktani seif alamaze doma lenol as beso lishomrav nitzis svi shamor lusoch. Okay, so this was the end of. I didn't put the Mishnah. I missed it. I didn't put the right Mishnah. Anyways, so the halacha is that if you right, you have this. Anyway, so the Gemara compares it to if you close your door, or you lock the door of your house, and there happens to be a tzvi inside of it, so that's obviously permitted. There happens to be a deer inside. Aviidach, hamif es morsa b'shabes, im lasu lapeh, chayv, im lotu min aleicha pater, maida pater muter. Let's skip that to the third one. Look at three lines down. Aviidach, what's the third case? Hatzad nachash b'shabes. If you hunt a... if you trap a snake on Shabbos, im mizasik bo shelo yishchenu pater, im lirfu achayv. If you trap it so that it won't bite you, so then pater and mutter. And if you trap it for refuah, so then you are liable. May de pater mutter. How do you know that that's mutter? Ditznan, kofin ka'aral aner v'shel dachot bekarav alzo shel kodem val akrav shel tishach, because the Mishnah tells you explicitly that you are allowed to trap a scorpion so it doesn't bite you, and therefore trapping a a snake to prevent it from biting you is mutter lechatchil. And the Rambam summarizes this in 11 that remasim hamazikin kagon echashim v'akram v'chayotze behen, right, all these damaging bugs and snakes and whatever. And I mentioned, I think, last week that the big nafkamina is how do you understand bees, right? Are bees in this category or not? On the one hand, people do trap bees because of there are, you know, honeybees. On the other hand, they, you know, the reason you trap bees when they're in your sukkah is because they'll sting you. So, but the Rambam says that these types of animals, even though they don't kill you, since they bite you, you're allowed to trap them on Shabbos. And that's if your intent is to save yourself from being bit. Says, what do? You cover them so they don't bite you. The problem is as follows. Most Rishonim, Paskin, like Rav Shimon, the Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa is on Shabbos, Pater Midaraisa, and only Asar Midirabanan. And therefore it makes sense that normally we say the Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa is Pater Aval Asar, but here, because we don't want the snake to bite you, so we say it's Pater U Mutter. But the Rambam is unique. The Rambam Paskin is like Rabbi Yehuda. The Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa isn't Asur Midrabbanan, it's Asur Midaraisa. So all the Achronim say, how can the Rambam... I understand for everybody else why you're allowed to trap a snake on Shabbat. It's the Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa, because you don't need the snake, you just want it not to bite you. That's classic Ein Tzrich LaGufa. You don't need to trap it for the sake of the snake, you just want it away from you. But according to everybody else, fine, we Paskin Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa is only Asur Midrabbanan. According to the Rambam, who holds Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa is the Araisa, then how could it be mutter to trap a snake when it's, as he said explicitly, it's not a case of Pikuach Nefesh. It's just that it hurts. It just bites. So that's where Reb Chaim asks in 12. He says, Imkein, Rambam de Pasak, Beperek Aleph Sham, the Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa, Chayev Alea, Imkein Eich Pasak, Vahanach Tarte, Mevis Murfat, Sez Nachash Te Mutter, Kshenom, Miskaven, Las Lopelot, so Shem the Remek, Vahanach Mishnah, he said, how could the Rambam say it's mutter? It's Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa, which he thinks is Chayev Midaraisa. So I'm going to skip what he says about Maifis Mursa, but I'm going to skip to our case, to 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down. He says, V'chein b'hach t'tzeitas nachash, l'fiyam avur b'div ha-ram, sh'kaz v'zeh l'shanam mutter l'atzum z'am b'shavah, z'vuh sh'yizkavin li'nasam m'shichasam ha'akam l'shono. Im kein ha'nim tzad, de'enu miskavin klal lotzud rak v'hatzul atzum b'lvad, v'im kein ha'vei davar she'enu miskavin b'psik reisha, d'lo nichalei d'patur b'shavah, l'kulei alma l'da'as ha'aruch, So the Reb Chaim says something interesting. He says it's not a Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa, really. What it is, Malacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa is where I do the Malacha, just not for the right reason. He said here, it's as if I'm not even doing the Malacha, right? Really what I'm doing is keeping the animal away from me. It just happens to be that it gets trapped. That's a psik reisha, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a psik reisha delo nichalei, because I don't care whether it's trapped, it doesn't want it away from me. What's the problem with Reb Chaim? Reb Chaim is assuming, right, in order to say that this is a right psik reisha delo nichalei, what's he assuming? He's assuming that intent actually defines the malacha. Right? Meaning, you are trapping it. What do you mean? This is not a malacha shein tzrich LaGufa. You did the malacha. It's not a psik reisha. You did the malacha. Right? Reb Chaim seems to assume that, and that's what he actually spelled this as that at the beginning, right? More explicitly. Right? Well, look back at the beginning. V'nir lo mar bazeh. T'hine be'emes be'viz mursa de'tiruhu. K'she'inu miskaven lasu lopeh. Rak lotzi men aleicha. K'nan lo lehedim av sneezin. Lasu lopeh chayev. Rakim kavan nasu lotzi men aleicha bovad. Az hu shari. Vim kein anim to David beemet davershin miskavin the potter b'shabbos l'kulei alma v'aval gav David psik reisha. Right, so he says, really, it must be that sad and apparently mefes mursa are defined by your kavana. If they're defined by your kavana, so then it's not malacha shein tzrich LaGufa. It's as if it's a psik reisha because I intended not to hunt it, to not to trap it. If I didn't intend to trap it, then even though it got trapped and that was inevitable, it's just a psik reisha. Psik reisha no nichalei, and the Rambam thinks the Reb Chaim thinks the Rambam Paskin is like the Aruch. The psik reisha no nichalei is mutter. That whole analysis gets us to one point, which is that Reb Chaim thinks that what's unique about Tzad, and the reason that you have all these kulos built into Tzad, is that Tzad is defined not objectively, but coming back to our point, subjectively. I mean, it's not about whether it's trapped or not. It's about whether you meant to trap it. If you trapped it and didn't mean to trap it, or didn't even trap it for the sake of trapping, it's automatically not Deoraisa. Right? Even if objectively what you did was you trapped it completely. Which fits very much with the notion that Tzad is a subjective malacha. It's one about bringing into your control, so much so that even if I objectively trapped it completely, if my intent was something else, then that's merely a psik resha. It's not the malacha itself. That's very sort of like, you know, conceptually.
The Rambam basically, it's specifically, he wants to trap it.
So you don't. Well, I mean, so trapping means trapping it to keep it. Right, that's what you have to add. Right, trapping it to keep it, which is a very, very narrow.
And also, you say that it's not coming under his control, only because he doesn't want it to come under his control.
Well, that's also okay. Hey, yeah, look, Reb Chaim is very.
Is something not considered under my control if I don't want it under my control?
Sort of.
Right, that's what he's saying.
I mean, yeah, essentially what he is saying.
The thing's under your control, but it's not considered sad. Because you don't want to
lose
control.
Yeah, something like that.
Because you're not really controlling
it. Right, because you're not really controlling it, right? I don't care to control it, so I'm not controlling it. Right, exactly. Yeah, basically.
It's not sad. All I want to do is keep it away from me.
Exactly. That's exactly what he says. And the Chazon Ish takes it a bit differently, and this will finish. He says, "Ika demasin laha atzad nachash chulei Reb Shimon hi ze kaim af ledas aruch dehacha." Mechavein letzeda, the shame letzeda who hahava also lemakom mitzumzam v'leshloli meno et hachofish letiul lemakom shiirtze v'arei kivein lechach v'zeh she'ino. Right, he said, what are you talking about? Right, he said, what is right? Reb Chaim said, no, right, Reb Chaim, you think that Tzad is about the kavana to bring it under your control. Chazon Ish says, no, it isn't. Hunting is about trapping an animal, pshuto kimashmo, and you meant to do that. I don't care if you meant to do it not because you wanted to trap it, right, but because you wanted it away from you. The way you chose to do that, bichavana, was to trap it. And trapping is about curtailing freedom, and you did that and you meant to. V'zeshin otarach latzmutzu kovelo b'din malachan jensel l'gufa l'ri chayev. So then how does the Rambam deal with it? So again, without getting just full analysis of the sugya, he says the Rambam just thinks that it doesn't depend on Malach Shechel Gufa. He thinks that the Gemara, there's two deus in the Gemara, and he passed on the other day, without getting to how exactly he reached the sugya. The point is, Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim again seem to be arguing within the Rambam on this axis. Reb Chaim says, yeah, you could actually have a case where you intend to curtail its freedom, and that will be called not having intent, because you didn't have intent to bring it into your rishos. The Chazon Ish says, what are you talking about? Hunting is about curtailing freedom, and you meant to do that. And therefore, Reb Chaim is willing to say, yeah, this case is not called trapping, even though I meant to trap it because I didn't mean to take it into my rishos. Chazon Ish, that's absurd. You have to come up with some other explanation, right? I won't get into what his explanation is, but again, you see Reb Chaim and Chazon Ish are arguing along this axis within the definition of the Rambam. Yeah. Well, he just thinks that there's machlokus in the sugya, and that this isn't dependent on malacha shein shechel gufa, right? Meaning Reb Chaim is working the assumption that the Gemara. Presumably what he'll say is that if it's not davar shebemino nitzo, it's not called trapping at all or something like that, right? That's not based on malachon shel chuvah, it's just based on mino nitzo or not. It's a different definitional thing, which is this the type of thing that people trap or not, or something like that. But he doesn't explain. He just says, assume it's a machlokas in the sugya and move on.
We're talking about Shabbos in all these cases.
This is Shabbos, yeah. This is Shabbos in economy.
So, I mean, in the Mishnah, in the Gemara of Shabbos, you have all these different cases of doing half a malacha and everything else like that.
you have to say that it's defined so differently. This isn't even half a malacha. That's what you have to assume.
Okay.
It's what you have to assume, right? And we have that sometimes, that certain malachas are defined by their tachlis to the point where you can't have a half. It's all or nothing.
Just when the Rambam looks at it, when you look at Shabbat, it's the issue is the actual action of sud, because that's why you're able to define it as hapalapa and not hapalapa. But we're talking about yontif. In other words, what he's saying makes perfect sense to me, to divide the two.
Oh, no, for sure. The Rambam makes a lot of sense in that sense between Shabbos and yontif. Yeah, and the Rambam, it's elegant. Okay. Oh, yeah. I will point out that it is amazing we've gotten to the bottom of Chaf Dalet and Aleph. We have plenty of things to do before we move on from there, but we have gotten to the next Mishnah. I'm going to pretend that that means we've gotten to the next Mishnah. It's not true, because the next source sheet is on Tosfos again, back on our Mishnah, the first Mishnah. But okay, hey, whatever. Whatever. No one's perfect.